Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 7 minutes past the hour of 9. You are listening to Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. Shortly we'll be having our weekly book review program with Mawlana Ashraf Dokrat, and this morning we are looking at the book A Man of Good Hope by Johnny Steinberg, inshallah. That will be in a few moments' time. At about 9:25, we'll be crossing over to KZN to speak to Mufti Zubair Bayat, and we are continuing now with our discussion on the youth. This is based on the presentation that Mufti Zubair did a week ago in Rustenburg at the youth conference. So we're just going to be expanding and expounding on the same discussion on the airwaves, inshallah. The SMS line to the program, 48855, that's 48855. Alternatively, you could SMS on 072-786-1548.
You are listening to Mawlana Habib Bobat.
Mawlana Ashraf, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Lots of hope from a man of good hope.
Yes, Manana, this book with an interesting title, A Man of Good Hope, is really the story or the biography of a Muslim youngster by the name of Asad Abdullahi. And really, Asad Abdullahi, from the way the story is told, seems to be a good man. He's intelligent, he's industrious, and we come to like him through the story. And really what he does is that he represents maybe many millions of people who are forced to live on the edge of broken societies. Mm. And the author, Johnny Steinberg, writes this book through a series of interviews he holds with Assad. And these interviews are held in South Africa in the back of this or in the author's car, and the author and his subject Assad develop a type of a relationship so that he can actually find out what Assad's life was about and how he came to be in South Africa. Assad is this youngster who is born in Somalia, in Mogadishu, in the early 1980s. At the age of 8, he already sees his mother shot dead in front of him when rebels invade his country and the country disintegrates into a type of a civil war. He loses his family while he's taking flight from the city, and he spends then the next 2 years of his life looking after an injured woman. He finds himself alone in Kenya, and he moves in the region in search of his family, only later on to discover that his family, his father, had in fact lived in the same town as him, but they much miss each other. This is the great irony and tragedy in the story. Mm. And his family is eventually never reunited. He's homeless, he has no family, and often he finds himself only with the clothes that he has as his only possessions. He is buffeted really from place to place, country to country. He faces a number of dangers from thieves and officials. But in all of this, he never loses hope. And he finds just enough work, perhaps just to pull him through to the next day. And eventually then he chooses to try to get to South Africa. At that point he has no passport, he has no ID documents, and it seems impossible for him to make the journey through 5 countries to actually reach South Africa. Mm. But remarkably, with the aid of people smugglers, and then one gets through the book, one gets an idea of how this smuggling takes place. He is able to then, without a passport completely defenseless in some sense, he is able to get through, and he explains how the Kenyan police are, how the South African police are. And after a series of these night crossings through borders, he gets through South Africa through a hole in the border fence. And he's astonished with the nature of the buildings and the roads in South Africa and the modern efficiency in South Africa. He's able to set up a shop and he settles in a township outside Cape Town. And being an industrious person, he runs eventually a very profitable business. But then in 2008, the poor South Africans turn on African immigrants with an appalling type of savagery And particularly Somalians who ran these small shops and businesses in poor areas are then the target of the violence. And Assad's partner is murdered by the mob, and Assad is beaten up and is lucky to escape alive. All that is left of his shop that he's worked so hard on is a concrete base that he had put his shop up on. So he's lost everything. And they are relocated to an area called Sudwater. This is in 2008. And Molana, I had an opportunity at that time in 2008 to actually on a rainy day visited Sudwater and meet with the Somalian refugees there, I remember. And spoke to them at the tent where, which they had there for their Salah facilities. And really, at this point, I felt a sort of a personal connection to the book, and I could understand what he was referring to when he described what was going on with the refugees there at Sudwater. But throughout all of this, Assad remains calm. He tries to rebuild his life, and he has to make some very important choices where, on the one hand, he has to go on with life, and at the same time, he has to take risks. He marries, he loses one wife, and then he marries another, and he has children with both his wives. Eventually, he makes his way and leaves South Africa and makes his way to America. And the author actually follows him after that to America to interview him in America, and he finds that the author is not very excited about the fact that he's gone to America, because the author sees new challenges now that in fact Assad has to face. Further, the author promises that if he has to interview him again in 5 years' time, I'm sure there's been new experiences for Assad's life. But in any case, I think on the face of it, the story is about a biography of this young Muslim migrant. And he speaks about, for example, you know, the area that we refer to sometimes as Mogadishu in Mayfair, and his time there, and how just being in that community made him feel secure. And he gives some understanding about how the community works and all of that. And it is also a story not only of the biography of the person, but it's about issues such as crime, human trafficking, migration, poverty, xenophobia, and it gives you also an insight into the Somalian clan system and how at times there's this lethal racism against and xenophobia against these Somalians, and how they live in the townships, you know, completely locked up in the shops, fearing for their lives all the time. At one point, Stenbeck says something about the refugee, and I took out that quotation, which I found was very, very poignant. He says that a refugee has lost control. Great historical forces have upended him, and he no longer has a place in the world. He has become an in-between sort of being. And he says this person is then suspended between a past which he belonged to somewhere and a future in which he might belong somewhere once more. But for now, he is in abeyance. He is swept this way and that like a flotsam in a tide. And we can relate this to the several Muslim refugees who now find their way from Syria across into Europe as well, Molana. In terms of our theme that we're running for this month, you know, which we're talking about youth of honor, what are the salient features in Assad's life that I feel makes him a really Muslim youth of honor? Firstly, I think his intense determination and his remarkable internal resilience. This is something that is required of any honorable Muslim. Despite the odds, we speak often of Muslim youth, and we think about good circumstances and the fact that things are easy and then you become a good Muslim youth. But what about lives like that of Assad, who are people sometimes don't have control over their own destinies and what happens? And in all of this, we see Assad to be a strict Muslim. He follows the precepts of the Quran Kareem. He makes Salah, and often the author refers to him coming out of a mosque or going into the mosque. And he's able to, because of his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's almost Raza bil qada, you know, the fact that he believes in faith and that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't give in to despair because of that. Mm. And he meets all disasters with acceptance, he meets it with pragmatism, and yet he retains his dream to find a better life for himself, to find a better life for his family. Secondly, we see that this is an intelligent person. He is resourceful, and he has self-discipline. He is hardworking. He is willing to do any job as long as he's able to earn his own keep from that. So this is also a very important quality that Muslims have to have. And thirdly, is the way he relates well to others. He reads people well. He's trustworthy. I think the other quality that comes out is the fact that they are able to, one gets an insight of the cooperation between Somalians, you know, the way fellow clansmen are able to support one another and even do for one another without expecting anything in return. I think this is a very important quality that Muslims need to have. And really, one, when you read the story, one only develops a type of admiration for Somalians and their self-reliance and also their resilience. But perhaps they are some of the world's most adaptable people when it comes to the fact that they've moved now throughout the world and made the entire world their home after the disasters that they faced in their own country. So all in all, a good read, Maulana.
Amazing resilience, as they say, Marana. Our yes. Background and circumstances may influence who we are, but we are responsible for who we become.
Exactly. And we see this throughout this book, Marana. I really recommend people who want some insight into what goes on when people are really uprooted from their own countries and civil war influences their lives to understand this. And we can link with this because we know that and we know of this growing and also strong Muslim community in our own midst, our Somalian brothers.
A fascinating account indeed. Murad, tell us how much and where.
Murad, the book is available online, or it is available for 226 rand from the exclusive books outlets.
Interesting indeed. Murad, jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.